Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Yes, it's Jamal Adams.
The only word I can think to use, Rick, is saga, because that's what it seems to be, is a saga going on right now. I'm sure you heard the audio over the weekend. I guess he was in Dallas, and this is credited to Jackson Velasquez. Take a listen to the back and forth. It's very brief between Velasquez and Jamal Adams.
Hey, what's up, bro? Hey, you coming to Dallas?
And there you go. I'm trying, bro. I mean, he has made it very obvious he wants a way and out of New York with the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, he's made it a saga. I mean, yep. He has no real leverage. I mean, the Jets control him for the next 3 years with the franchise tag. I mean, it's clear he doesn't want to be a Jet unless they pay him exactly what he wants, and I don't think that Joe Douglas is going to do that.
I mean, what's his incentive to be a Jet? I mean, they're not doing a lot of winning. I mean, he's played at a very high level. I mean, he's the best safety in the game after year three. You're talking about a guy that you invested a top 10 pick in 3 years ago, and he's under the age of 25, and he's the best at his position in the NFL. I mean, I don't understand what the holdup is for the Jets paying him. I mean, to me, you would want to send the right message to your locker room by rewarding guys that perform at that kind of level. Now, I get it. You know, general managers, head coaches, they look at the precedents that they set with trying to open up contracts with players with multiple years left on their contracts. But Jamal Adams is the exception and not the rule. And guys in the Jets locker room, guys around the NFL understand that. When you have a player that's as transformative as Jamal is, and that individual player having the impact on his unit the way that Jamal Adams impacts the Jets defense – to me, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to reward that kind of guy.
Jamal, well, I think it has to be a negotiation. Because it has to be a negotiation.
You say what?
Because it has to be an actual negotiation. If his mindset is, over the last 3 years, I've balled out. My team is 16-32. Like you said it. Why does he want to be a Jet? Well, I want to be a Jet because you're going to pay me exactly what I want. And if you don't, I'd like to be traded. I mean, you saw the list of teams to a team that does actually win on a consistent basis. And if it's one of those teams, I'll play my fourth year out, and then we can talk about an extension. I think that's the point, is that the Jets have nothing to offer him as far as winning is concerned. So he wants to make sure if he's going to be a Jet, then he's going to win off the field with the money. And I don't think Joe Douglas is going to pay him 17, 18 million bucks a year.
Well, I mean, I don't understand why Joe Douglas wouldn't want to take care of that guy. I mean, if you're trading him, what are you getting back in return? You're getting what, a first-round pick and maybe another mid-round pick to go alongside it? I mean, you're hoping that with that pick, the player becomes some semblance of what Jamal Adams is in terms of impact on your team winning games. That's the part that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, you drafted a guy in the top 10, and you actually hit on this pick. I mean, we can run down the list of first-round picks the Jets have had this decade that have been busts. Jamal Adams was a home run. You actually made a good pick. Now, you can argue whether or not they should have drafted Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes, but that's neither here nor there. They decided that they wanted to go with a position player rather than a quarterback, and they came away with a really good player, an all-pro player. To me, you got to lock those guys up. You don't become a better football team by trading guys like that away.
But it's going to work both ways. He's going to want to have to stay.
Well, the only way he's going to want to stay is if he gets paid right now.
Yeah, but pay exactly the point. But, I mean, there's a number that's just not reasonable. In salary cap sport, if what he's asking for is, you know, you've heard rumors that it's, you know, one of the highest paid defensive players. If it's 19, 20 million bucks a year Jet.
Well, no. He's not getting that. But I mean, if you had $17 million on the table, I think that's a conversation. Jamal Adams would be hard pressed to turn that kind of money down. If you're talking about paying him $17 million a year and guaranteeing him, you know, upwards of $50 million from a practical guarantee standpoint, he'd be crazy to turn that kind of money down.
Well, he wouldn't turn that down.
He wouldn't
take that in a heartbeat.
That
the highest
he
paid safety is what?
Down.
Eddie Jackson, 14.6?
What, 14 and a half, 15 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if he beats the next highest paid player at his position by $2 million annually, I don't think that's something that Jamal Adams could walk away from. But I think the fact that the Jets have been hesitant to even go down this road and have negotiation talks, that flies in the face of the performances that Jamal Adams has been giving them the last couple of years. He made a Pro Bowl in 2018, All-Pro in 2019. And again, Dave, we're talking about a player that's under 25. To me, it makes all the sense in the world that you reward those that player. How many homegrown guys that the Jets have that you feel like earn the right to have a second contract?
Very few. But isn't this something that should have been ironed out before the seat, like months ago, before the draft?
This is a conversation that should have happened as soon as the season ended, as far as I'm concerned, Dave. They should have been talking with Jamal Adams, just like the Chicago Bears were talking with Eddie Jackson. They're the same draft class, and Eddie Jackson was a fourth-round pick. So if the Bears can make that kind of commitment to their player, knowing that they can control his rights, why wouldn't the Jets do the same thing with their player? That's the part of it that doesn't make sense. Yeah, I get it. They can have him play out the last year of his rookie deal and then have the fifth-year option and potentially the franchise tag after that. They could do all of those things. They could play out the string. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. And Jamal Adams, say what you want, he's exceeded the $3.5 million that he's supposed to make in 2020. He's worth a lot more than that to this team. I just don't understand why you would hesitate to reward that guy.
I think the hesitation is he's not Joe Douglas's draft pick. I don't think he gets along well with Adam Gase. And on top of it, he might be asking for a certain amount of money that Joe Douglas doesn't feel comfortable paying him at the moment.
Right. Which we've seen. Douglas is pretty adamant about certain areas get slotted into certain amounts of money.
I mean, what's to lose? If you're Jamal Adams, I mean, you got to fuck. If I'm Jamal Adams and I really don't want to be a Jet unless they pay me a certain amount of money, what does he have to lose at this point? I mean, he's just pushing, and, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed for him, he gets dealt.
Well, I mean, they were
one of the teams that he wants to be on.
They were the ones that were fielding phone calls about trading Jamal Adams last year. That was outside of Jamal Adams' control, but you'd like to think that wouldn't impact how the player feels about his team, but that's going to play a role in how he views the New York Jets and how they feel about him. And in order to put a Band-Aid on that situation, in order to make sure that he's a good soldier for your head coach who's on the hot seat, you have to do something. You have to give him a reason, and that to me, that reason would be paying him the kind of money that would make him the highest, not only the highest paid at his position, but one of the highest paid defensive players in football. So to me, it should be a situation where the Jets are looking to pay Jamal Adams in the range of $17 million a year. This is not one of those things where you're trying to get the absolute best bargain based on what the pay scale is at the position. You have to look at Jamal Adams' impact on your football team. What he means to your locker room, his leadership traits, the intangibles, how he makes everybody around him that much better. You had a top 10 defense last year. You didn't have a number one corner to speak of, nor did you have a dominant edge pass rusher. And you had a top 10 defense. There probably isn't another defensive unit in the NFL that can make that claim, that they were able to perform at that high level without those two critical positions. But somehow you were able to do it with the Jets.
This is a no-brainer to you? You'd just walk in, give them the deal, be done? Like, this for you is a no-brainer?
No-brainer, Dave.
Yes, yeah, I don't 17, agree.
$17 million a year, $50 million in guarantees, let's go. Let's have a party.
I think they've really just painted themselves into a corner here because they've made it pretty obvious they're not going to pay him, and he's made it pretty obvious that he's going to cause a lot of trouble if he doesn't get paid.
But, Dave, think about how that impacts your team. If they don't pay Jamal Adams, they're not going to be as good on the defensive side of the ball, which in turn affects what happens on the offensive side of the ball. And last I checked, they weren't very good on that side of the ball either. They were the worst offense in the NFL. And keep in mind, you're still trying to develop a franchise quarterback that's going into year three. To me, it doesn't make sense to have this type of disruption with Adam Gase and Joe Douglas and their program building. It doesn't.
But what bothers me is you didn't have an idea that this could happen. Like, this should not come out of left field. You should know that he was capable of this, and you should have figured it out before the draft and either traded him or figured out a way that this will get done, or this will get done if he agrees to it after this coming season. But to be here now is just, it's awful.
Yeah, it is, Dave. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And the people that say, well, he's got to honor his contract. He's got two more years on his contract.
Listen, man, this is an exception to the rule. Like, to me, people that want to stick to, oh, well, the Jets, they don't have to do anything, and they're going to make, they should make Jamal Adams play out his deal. No, you shouldn't. You should pay this guy. Because you don't have a lot of homegrown players that are capable of impacting your team's chances of winning like Jamal Adams. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to go out there and say, I don't think they have one homegrown player outside of Sam Darnold that's capable of impacting the team, winning games like Jamal Adams.
I can't even think of a lot of homegrown guys they have that have a huge impact to begin with, to be honest with you.
Exactly. So what are we talking about?
I can see the other side, though, Chris.
Well, help me see it, Dave, because I can't see it.
Well, I mean, if you're Joe Douglas and you don't want to pay a safety $17 million a year.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay a safety that much money, but where am I putting that money on my football team? Okay, if I'm not paying a safety that kind of money, then where do you want to put that money? You don't have access to a pass rusher that warrants paying that kind of money to. You don't have access to a number one corner that warrants paying that kind of money to. So what you saving the money for?
Well, you're just going to roll it over because you don't have to pay him. I mean, the mindset would be you don't have to pay him. You have him for two more years, and then you can franchise him. So he really has no leverage. It'd be you giving in. I mean, he's outperformed his contract, but I agree with Dave. I can see both sides. I don't think that I think this comes down to Jamal Adams doesn't want to be a Jet.
I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so I mean, how does he lose in this situation? His loss is that he'll come back and he'll play under his fourth year for the Jets, which is the loss. The win is that, you know, he keeps pushing this thing, is going to be a disruption that, you know, we all realize Adam Gase can't handle, and he gets traded to, you know, one of these teams that's competing for a championship. That, oh, by the way, because they traded a first-round pick, whatever it ends up being, I have to pay him anyway. Does he want to be a Jet for life? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, listen, he's lost, what, 32 games since he's been with the Jets?
Yeah, 16-32.
He's lost 32 games.
Yep.
So, I mean, your team is not winning, and on top of that, your name has been mentioned in trade rumors during last season when you were all pro. I mean, your head coach is at odds with you, embarrasses you in the facility and in the media. I mean, at this point, why would you want to be here if you're Jamal Adams?
You don't. He doesn't.
Why would you, like, after being treated that way, why would you want to be here? That's what I'm saying. They haven't given him any incentive to want to stay and stick it out and continue to be a good soldier and an advocate for the head coach and the general manager. Why would I want to be a team guy when you guys haven't shown me that you're willing to support me in the way that I need to be supported in order to do what you want me to do? Like, that doesn't make sense.
But that's the point. Is that we can sit here and say that Joe Douglas should pay him. I think Joe Douglas has a number he wants to pay him, but that's not going to be good enough because Jamal's not going to take anything less than he wants to be a Jet because he's done with being a Jet. I think that this is a situation where he got traded to one of the teams on his list and they decided to redo his deal. But it was, let's just say, for example, and it probably wouldn't be the Cowboys with their cap situation. He'd probably have to play under the fourth year of his deal. Say it's Houston or one of these teams on his list, and they want to do an extension. I think he'd be much more amenable to taking, you know, a little bit more than Eddie Jackson got.
Yeah, if he's going to a team that's winning and you're paying him $15, $16 million a year, yeah, I think that's on the board. But
I think that's his end game. I think that's what he wants. I think he's just done with it.
He wants out of New York. He wants off the Jets.
It's just dysfunctional. He's sick and tired of it. He said it last year. This isn't who he is. He's not a loser. And if you don't trust your head coach, you already have a bad relationship with Joe Douglas. So why would you Why would you want to stay?
Well, you would stay because if they gave you that kind of financial security, chances are you're going to outlast the head coach. So it really doesn't matter how Adam Gase feels about you. You know, you're going to be here. Adam Gase probably won't be. If things continue to be bad on the field and you're not winning games.
But to Dave's point, I think that number that it would take for Jamal to suck it up and just deal with being a Jet is probably is more than Joe Douglas wants to spend.
Well, you could say it's more than he wants to pay, but I mean, looking at the Jets cap situation, I don't see an issue with paying Jamal Adams $17 million a year. You ain't paying a whole lot of guys, and the guys that you are paying big money beyond this season, I mean, I don't have to have Jamison Crowder. I don't have to have Le'Veon Bell. I don't have to have Henry Anderson and Alex Lewis. After this season, you can move on from those guys to accommodate Jamal Adams' contract extension if you so choose. But it's going to be up to what Joe Douglas wants to do, and I also think Adam Gase has something to say about it, which is which is why I don't feel good about the current situation, which is why I don't think that this is going to be resolved in a positive way for Jets fans.
It's hard to envision it's going to end well right now. It is. It's hard to envision that before the season starts that this is going to be in good standing between these two parties. Let's go to some calls. Let's go to Norman in Queens. Norman, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing, fellas? Jamal Adams, I get it, as a player, deserves to get paid, but the Jets program right now is not in any position to be having the top paid any player. I just wouldn't pay him. I would rather get the draft capital and move that around.
Time out. And I appreciate the phone call. But to Dave's point, I mean, if this was a conversation you had with his agent, you know, realizing he was unhappy and it would take, you know, whatever it ends up being, between 17 and 20 million bucks a year to keep him, and you decide we're not going to do that, then the only way that draft pick, that draft compensation helps you now in what is a huge season for your quarterback and your head coach is to do it before the draft. So that first round draft pick actually plays the season. Draft capital for next season does you no good now.
You almost look like you've been defeated if that's what you do.
You imagine you can't replace your best player August? With a draft pick that's not going to play the season. That does you no good in a huge season for, I mean, if you start talking about trading Jamal Adams to the Cowboys for like Michael Gallup and Lyle Collins, now we can have a conversation. Because those guys can step in immediately and help you.
Yep.
But I don't know if that deal exists.
And if you're doing it for draft capital, so now you trade him, he's not on your team this year, and neither are the draft picks? You look foolish.
Yeah, and you're talking about this season, I can't emphasize enough how important this season is for Sam Darnold. And in turn for the head coach. If they don't win this season, it's not going to be good for Adam Gase.
No.
Which is not good for Sam Darnold because he's going to have another new head coach.
Good for him. Forget about it. It'll be done.
Well, it's done, but that, again, you can hate Adam Gase, which is fine. I don't really necessarily love Adam Gase either, but that's not in the best interest of Sam Darnold. If he has to go through another coach with another system,
correct,
going into his fourth year,
correct,
it's a nightmare. You've just took his rookie contract and lit it on fire.
Right. The biggest advantage you have in the NFL is to play with a quarterback on a rookie deal, and you're on the verge of completely letting that get away if you're the Jets.
Yeah, they wasted that.
Yep.
That's over with now. Guys, to me, you got to have talent, and that's the one thing that we've been saying. The Jets have to continue to try to build a nucleus of core players that are talented, that can be difference makers, and Jamal Adams fits that bill. I don't know why. As a GM, as a head coach, or as a fan, you would be in a hurry to move on from Jamal Adams. I don't get that.
You answered your own question, though. You think that Adam Gase, I mean, you've seen his past track record with players, you know, star players with.
Yeah, which makes me feel like whatever Adam Gase wants to do, I need to do the opposite. Based on what we saw from Kenyon Drake last year, based on what we saw from Devontae Parker, whatever Adam Gase wants to do, I need to do the exact opposite. That's how I would feel about it.
I don't disagree with you, but I mean, he has a say in what's going on, you'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, he has a say in what's going on. He's the guy that didn't feel like Le'Veon Bell deserved to get more than 21 carries, in three games last year? Yeah, he's the guy that felt like, I want to give the ball to other guys. I want to spread it around to other guys in our offense. What other guys are we talking about with the Jets? What other guys do they have?
It's the system,
who was
Chris.
More of a difference maker in terms of skill position players than Le'Veon Bell on that Jets offense last year?
It's all about the system.
Okay.
Look at the positive. Lev Bell had all this extra energy to go and bowl his best game ever.
Yep. In orange leather pants.
In orange leather pants, which is, I mean, that's a handicap to begin with.
Oh, man, I just don't understand why Jets fans want to take this hardline approach with your best defensive player.
Because they don't like the timing. The
and
hardcore
they're also
Jet
angry
fan.
At him.
Yeah, they're
he
mad
came
at him
out and said, I do not want to be a Jet. And for a fan, Chris, that's a gut punch.
Well, it is a gut punch, but recognize why. I mean, the head coach is on the fence about him. The general manager is listening to trade talks about him last year. Now, I get it. That's the general manager's job. But, I mean, to do it in such a public fashion, I could understand why it would rub a player the wrong way, especially if you're talking about a guy that you've touted as a cornerstone of your defense and of your team.
Like, because you know fans
just look at it from Jamal's standpoint. Like,
no, we don't. But you know fans don't do that. They want you to be – they want the players to be as loyal as they are as fans.
Well, here's what I'm saying, though, Rick. Jamal Adams doesn't feel like the organization is being loyal to him.
based on how the head coach is treating them and based on the general manager listening to trade talks. If they're not going to be loyal to me and we're losing, they lost 32 games the last 3 years. That's over 10 losses a year. Yeah, Jamal Adams is going to feel a way about it, especially after being a winner in high school and being a winner in college.
Yeah, but you know fans will never see the side of that. They'll never see that side of it.
Sure. You're right.
Yeah, because, I mean, we know. I mean, they charge me, you know, $16 for a beer. I'll still go. I mean, they're not loyal to me.
Let's stick it to Jamal Adams. Meanwhile, we had a free agent middle linebacker that played in what? Two games?
Yep.
Two games? And we paid him $17 million a year?
Grossly overpaid him.
What has he done for the Jets? Not a damn thing. And I love CJ. That's my former teammate from Baltimore. But Jamal Adams has done a lot more for the Jets than CJ Mosley has. And yet, we want to complain about Jamal wanting his money?
The fans' mindset is, how dare you want to quit? We can't quit our team. How dare you want to quit our team?
That's right. Now, Charles Grodd tweets in, they should offer him 4 years, $52 million, fully guaranteed. That's not going to happen. He's not going to take $13 million a year.
I don't know. No. Here's the thing, Dave. I don't know if there's going to be enough. Like, if Joe Douglas has the appetite to pay him what it's going to take to make him happy. I think he realizes the fact that Dallas, he's from Dallas, they were interested. He's got he could be the finishing piece on a bunch of these really good teams. Mm-hmm. Is that if he can get himself out now, he wants to get himself out now.
So how does this play out then? Because Douglas doesn't want to trade him, and he doesn't want to be here. So how does it play out that if you're the Jets, you can win this battle?
Well, you're probably not going to win because you're going to end up losing your best player. It's going to depend on what you get back.
I think here's the scary part. Here's the scary part, guys, and I don't know what Jamal Adams is thinking, whether he's going to report to camp, whether he's going to hold out. But let's say, for instance, he does show up to training camp on time. You think Jamal Adams isn't going to be disruptive in that locker room if they don't pay him his money?
Well, of course he is. He'll make Adam Gase's life miserable.
He's probably going to lead a revolt against the head coach. And how does that help anybody on the Jets?
It would actually help the fans, bro. I would be all for that.
You would be okay with your team?
I'd be okay with that.
Your team fighting amongst themselves?
Where do I sign up?
Oh, goodness. All right, guys. In these trying times, important to remember we pull together as a community. Small businesses all over are going to be feeling the lasting effects of this pandemic. If you are a small business trying to get the word out that you're still serving the community, let us know. Send us an email to 987ESPN@gmail.com and let us know your story so we can pass the word along to our community. Nobservations is next. And today is the anniversary of two separate events, Rick, which I don't know if I'll throw it in Nobservations or after, but I have them and some audio also ready to go. So Nobservations, weather, bedtime, extras, all of it. Next, 98.7.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Nobservations.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, boys, here we go. Monday edition of Nobservations, and as we like to do, we're going to start it off with our resident meteorologist Dave Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
All I can say is hot. It is a hot one today. Where does it sit right now? 88 degrees going up to an almost unbearable 89 at 1, 2, 3 o'clock this afternoon. So make sure that you're very well hydrated today. Sun rose at 5:21 this morning. Sun sets at 8:30. This evening, chance of rain slim, 10%. Humidity sitting at 46%, so fortunately not that humid. There's no wind. 2 miles an hour out of the southwest. Feels like 91. Precipitation to this point, none. Pressure standing at 29.95. Visibility, excellent. Now you can see for up to 10 miles. UV index is 8. Air quality index is sitting at a very high number, 44. And the air quality is considered good.
How are you beating the heat, Ollie?
Swimming hole!
Oh, sounds like the story of my life. All right. We had some controversy last week. Friday was tied 2-2.
I feel like I've been bamboozled here.
Well said. Bamboozled.
Yeah, it's not an easy word, but I feel like that's what's happened. Because we went through the charade of having Ray go at the time that, you know, he was sitting in for Canty, and now I find out that's no good.
Listen, I don't know what you're going to tell you. I mean, this is the Santiago said he had approval. He was lying. I mean, I don't know.
When did I say I had approval?
You said you said I have texted him. If I don't hear back, I have approval to go ahead with my kiss.
No, no, I never once said the word approval. I said if I didn't hear back from him, then I would just go in his stead and hope that would count.
That's okay, he's not happy with that, so it's not going to count.
From approval.
Okay,
yeah,
here's what you got to do.
If I had won, he would have accepted it. That's
okay, so grab. Do you have a coin in studio?
I can grab one.
Okay, grab a coin. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to flip a coin. Okay? Canty's going to call it. The winner controls the board for this
Monday.
All right,
so last
edition.
Week is a tie. In our best of five series, I'm up 1 week to none.
Yes. So last week didn't even. That's gone. Last week is a wrap.
Okay.
Did not count. So you're up one. Going into week three, Santiago's got the coin. Canty, do you want heads or tails?
We kick tails.
Flip it, Santy.
I got tails.
Oh, come on. There's no video evidence of this. Is there anyone actually in studio with you right now?
I got Anthony.
Anthony, is this true? Did this really happen?
He's not actually in studio. He's next door.
Oh, come on.
It happened.
I just caught him in a bold-faced lie.
Ray Santiago is a man of integrity. He would not lie about such a thing. He got tails on the coin
flip. I said
there's
no one in studio. He said Anthony's in studio. I said, Anthony, this happened. He goes, well, he's not in studio.
Well, he's in our studio. He's in
great. I'm in a studio also. You know what? Forget it. Forget it. I'll beat you despite all the shenanigans going on.
Listen, battle through the adversity. No one said it's going to be easy. Battle through it. Canty, it's your board. Do you want to go first, or do you want to let Dave go first?
You know what? Dave allowed me to go first, and I actually took control back from him. I don't want to return the favor, so I'm actually going to go first.
Wow.
In today's game, and I am going to go with a bedtime of 8:13 p.m.
8:13 p.m. Canty fresh off. Golf weekend goes with 8:13. Wheels fell off in the back nine, so anyone that wasn't catching the show earlier, Canty golfed. Good front nine, awful back nine this weekend.
Now here's my thought process.
No alligators, though.
ESPYs last night. Mm-hmm. Typically, you're not the guy that likes to watch 2 hours of taped show in the morning. It was a hot day yesterday, but you were pampered. So maybe you had a little more energy than the norm. I'm thinking you did. I'm thinking you wanted to watch part of the ESPYs before you went to bed. Canty, you said 8:13?
Yes.
8:14 bedtime.
Dave Rothenberg, I love the thought you put into it, and you are absolutely correct.
Curses.
Yep. I watched the first hour of the ESPYs last night. Because then I had to go to the bathroom. It was a 10:07 bedtime. 10:07.
All right. So 1-0 lead heading into Tuesday of this week.
Well played, Rothenberg. Well played.
Thank you.
I love the amount of thought. But I mean, this is why I love this
usually
show.
You
actually put
under,
thought
though.
Into this
Dave
game.
Dave usually goes under whatever I.
And 8:13 is a late bedtime, but I just felt, you know what? He probably wanted to watch part of the ESPYs last night.
Okay.
So there we go.
You went with the gut.
I didn't get enough crying yesterday with the Father's Day gift. I decided to watch some of the ESPYs and cry some more. We'll start today's observations off with some good news. Speaking of the ESPYs, this year's recipient of the Jimmy V Award for Perseverance. Did you guys get a chance to see this?
Was that Nelson Cruz?
No, it's Aquarius Ware.
Oh, I did see that, yeah.
Oh my God, man. I mean, I couldn't even imagine what he's.
What a great personality from that kid, huh?
Like just watching him walk across the stage when he graduated.
Yep.
Was, I mean.
He was juiced up now.
Dude, I mean, excited. It's just for him to, from where he was at to what he's been able to do. I mean, it's unbelievable. If you haven't seen it, you got to check it out.
Yeah, it's an amazing story.
It's amazing. And then, I mean, Nelson Cruz crying when he accepted
his
award.
Oh, yeah. Very emotional. Yeah, and then Kevin Love, too, was another one that you felt really good about.
See, but these are the stories, man. These are the stories that need to be told. These are the people need to be focused on.
This is why people love sports, for those stories. Because if you wrote it in a movie, you'd say, yeah, but it's scripted. But it's the unscripted nature of sports that makes it so attractive to people.
It's inspiring, man.
Yeah, it is.
Like, to see what this kid, I mean, the adversity that this kid dealt with, what he battled through. I mean, how many people would just say, you know what, I can't do it?
Right. I'll be a hermit. I'll never leave the house. I'm disfigured.
Too hard.
I have a hand that's, you know, not normal now. I'm done.
It's amazing, man. Because he'll, I mean, there'll be a kid that he inspires because of his story.
100%.
He'll change somebody's life for the better. Okay, so that's good stories. I can't even believe I'm reading this. The ESPYs hit all the right marks. Let's talk about being tone deaf and not hitting any of the right marks. Amazon is once again in hot water after its Chicago warehouse offered, are you ready for this? You guys won't believe this, offered its workers chicken and waffles to celebrate Juneteenth.
Oh, come on, man.
Come on, Jeff Bezos. Come on, Amazon. You gotta know better, man. You gotta know better.
What do you even
Why
say
would
to
you
that?
Do that?
What do you even say to that?
I mean, you gotta
be stereotyping your employees. Come on, how does that serve any purpose? How does that make things better? That just makes things worse.
Yeah, I can't imagine that makes anything better. Yeah. It's nothing. No, especially when you frame it as we stand in solidarity, honoring the black.
No, you don't. Voice. You don't right. Stand in solidarity, Rick. There wasn't a black person in the room when you made the decision to serve them chicken and waffles in honor of Juneteenth. There's no way that there was a black employee that was sitting in on that meeting that said that would be a good idea. No way. Which is why we need to push for inclusion. And we need
how about
to push
that meeting,
for
though?
Diversity.
How about you? How would that meeting go? Like if you're in that in the meeting. So what should we do? Should we ask everybody what they'd like to eat? Or should we just go with strictly stereotype? You know what? It's easier just to go with the stereotypes.
Yeah. Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and
we'll have watermelon Kool-Aid for them. That's, there we go. That makes a lot of sense.
Who makes it? Someone in charge of a company made this decision.
How tone deaf can you be, though?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Almighty. It's unbelievable. The fact that you even read these stories, this can't be happening. No, it's happening.
But that just shows you that there are a lot of corporations, Dave, that are just riding the wave and they're just going along with this because
yeah,
it's
but
the popular
that's,
thing
I
to
mean,
do.
That's the biggest company
they're
in
the country.
They're
not sincere
right
about
now.
Their commitment to supporting the fight for equality and the fight against racism. They're not sincere when it comes to trying to support Black Lives Matter in their agenda. They're not. They're just doing it because this is the more popular position now.
Right. We do it for show.
Exactly. The winds of change have started to blow, and people are at a different position than when we were 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. America's in a different place. So we're just going to present this front that we're trying to be transformative as well. Meanwhile, we're just going on with business as usual. And we really don't care what the black community really has to say.
But why not ask the black community then if you have no idea?
Because you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, see,
that's
the
why you don't ask.
Me.
You don't ask because you don't care.
That's the part that bothers me. That's the part that even, I mean, to this day makes no sense to me. We talk about the Rooney Rule and everything else, like trying to incentivize. The idea that 75% of your workforce is black men, wouldn't you think, okay, I mean, having a black coach is probably a good idea.
Right?
I mean, you can't connect those dots? Part of a coach's number one job is to relate to his players. I makes sense to me, but apparently...
And Rick, wouldn't you say that's probably more important now with today's athletes
yes.
than it was 20, 30 years ago? When
I think
we
it's
were
doing more
along?
Now than it's ever been.
Chris, it's not, I'm telling you right now, it's not the X's and O's and they'll be like that coach that has all these like, different, schemes and everything else.
Like Adam Gase. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever you call that a scheme. I call it it's more of a scam than a scheme, but I mean, what you're trying to do is you're trying to create relationships with your players that allows you to have them make the right decisions, make the unselfish decisions.
Yep.
And that's relationships. That's not X's and O's.
It's almost like you have to convince a player why it's in his best interest
yes.
to sacrifice for the greater good.
Exactly
so
right.
So if you're a head coach, it's not just about your IQ and your schemes. It's also about your EQ, your emotional intelligence. And if
everyone
you're a
knows
coach
what
that
to do.
Yeah. If you're a coach that doesn't have that, it's going to be hard for you to have success in today's day and age where athletes are more empowered than they ever have been.
You're not reinventing the wheel. There's only so many things you can teach these guys.
Agreed.
They've learned everything.
Agreed.
Just
with
get them to do it as much
right.
as possible. This is a nightmare too. Before I get to did this happen in Florida, this would be the, the coronavirus nightmare.
Oh, God.
So, Russia restarted soccer. Did you guys see this story yet?
No.
So, FC Rostov had its entire first team put into isolation over a suspected virus outbreak among the six of the first team players. The team they were playing against, Sochi, refused to postpone the game. So they had to make a choice. Either we forfeit or we put a team on the field. They decided to go with the team on the field.
Come on.
The squad they sent had an average age of barely 17 years old. They fielded an academy graduate team. Didn't go so well. They lost 10-1.
Now, it was Bush League that the team wouldn't be willing to reschedule, but, I mean, you would think you would just decide to forfeit, no?
Yeah. Or the league would just be like, hey, we understand the circumstances.
Right.
Maybe
the commissioner can step in, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to reschedule.
We're not allowing children to play.
We're just going to allow this team to get embarrassed. But that's what happens, though, man. That's the biggest fear, is that all of a sudden the thing goes through a team and some of your best players are on the shelf for 10 to 14 days. I don't even know how this is going to work. All right, let's get to Did This Happen in Florida. You guys ready for this one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A man was arrested in an airport after he was found to have cocaine. Where was this cocaine found?
Uh-oh.
It was found in the artificial penis inside of his luggage.
Okay.
Yeah. Man said he got the drugs while visiting his mom. They're still asking for a 36-month sentence, which his attorney says, no, we can't do that because my client is in poor health, has kidney failure, and needs to exercise as well as follow a proper diet, from his lawyer. He's set to be sentenced on Wednesday.
All right, this seems obvious to me. It's not Florida, Chris, and it's not this country. Nope.
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I?
I mean, we're talking about an artificial you-know-what cocaine. This is very – this could
– I don't see that as an American story. I'm sorry. I think we're better than
the Wizinator. I mean, what about the Wizinator?
You did have that.
But I don't think that was in Florida.
No, I think that was in Minnesota. Listen, Dave has so much conviction that I have no choice but to ride his coattails, so I'm going to say not Florida.
Wow. Santi. This is right up your alley. What do you got?
I didn't feel comfortable saying outside of the United States, but Dave is all over that. I was going to say not Florida, though, so I feel comfortable saying not Florida.
I feel like Dave is getting my stories in advance of me reading the stories.
It's possible.
Well, hold on. You just said it's right up Santiago's alley. Is there something that we should know?
Dave is the one who's admitted to having knowledge of the drug trade on this show.
Well, I've watched a lot of Law & Order, and I've seen a lot of movies, and I have great knowledge. Narcos is a terrific show, so excuse me for picking up knowledge. I know what an 8-ball is, too. A little dime bag.
Davey dime bags.
You missed a lot on Friday, Chris.
I can see. Wow. Didn't know Dave Rothenberg had that side to him.
Yeah, you did. Davey dime bags is correct. That was not Florida. And that was not, in fact, this country.
That's Lawrence Taylor! Lawrence Taylor!
That was not Lawrence Taylor. This was a British man arrested in Brussels. In a Brussels airport. Yep.
Brussels. Okay.
Yep. Right. Trying to smuggle the drugs from Jamaica into Belgium.
Dave, is the drug trade big in Brussels over there?
I don't know that. Jamaica, I think it is, but I'm not familiar with Brussels.
Okay.
Like Amsterdam might be.
Amsterdam is, yeah, there's some drug stuff going on in Amsterdam.
Yep.
Last story for today. Interesting place for an outbreak. An outbreak has been confirmed at a strip club in Wisconsin.
I saw this story.
Best part of the story is two or more COVID-19 cases have been confirmed at Cruisin' Chubby's Gentlemen's Club.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
That $2 Tuesdays gets them every time.
You can't make this up.
Nope, Cruisin' Chubby's. If you've been at Cruisin' Chubby's between June 10th and 14th, you may have been exposed.
You are in trouble.
Wow.
Good luck explaining that one to the wife.
Wow.
And there you go, boys. That is a Monday edition of Knobservation.
Now, Raymond, before we get into the segment, did you get the audio of the second thing that we had discussed?
Oh, I did.
You did? All right. So, guys, one fictitious, one real. Rick, where would you like to start? The fictitious or the real?
Let's start with real. I feel like the fictitious could be funnier.
They're both terrific. So 39 years ago today, a phrase that is still used in everyday vernacular started. Raymond?
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line. Chalk flew up.
There you have it. John McEnroe's outburst at Wimbledon 39 years ago today. You cannot be serious.
Love it. Is he one of your favorite athletes of all time?
He's my favorite.
Yeah, because you love tennis.
Yeah. And he was a Long Island kid,
Dave
too.
Dave condones that type of behavior on the tennis court.
Well, the reason that I was so out of control on the court was because of him.
Like John McEnroe gave you permission to act that way.
Well, yes.
To actually hit the kid in the head with the tennis racket.
Yes.
After you lost.
Yes. Okay. I'm actually not kidding. So there was one time, this is a funny story. So I was playing on a court and he was actually on the court next to me. And I thought I was probably 8, 10 years old, something in that range.
Lowe's is working harder than ever.
I don't know what that was, but I said, you know, it'd be great. Is if I just go crazy and let him know that I'm here for him, right? So I was just having a lesson. It wasn't even a match. And I'm going, oh, this is, you know, screaming and yelling and everything. And word gets back. And they said, McEnroe wants to know if the kid can shut up over here so he can concentrate a little bit more during
this. Wow. Yeah. Crushed you. You were crushed.
I was horrified. But yeah, I always thought that the crazier he went, the better he played, and if he can do it, then I can do it, and that was my motivation.
Yeah, I could see the comparison. You and John McEnroe, very similar, talent-wise.
You know, and I'm not gonna take that. I was a very talented.
Athletic ability,
I was a very talented tennis player.
Right on par.
Not quite at his level, but still very talented. All right, so that's 39 years ago. 36 years ago from today, in the land of Hollywood, this happened.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
No, Sensei.
36 years ago today, Daniel LaRusso beat Johnny Lawrence to win the 18 and under Valley Tournament in Karate Kid.
I got a beautiful, beautiful autographed picture somewhere in here.
But you know what's hilarious, Rick, is that every athlete knows what sweep the leg means. Like if you say, like, hey, guys, it's time to sweep the leg. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
You're referring to that.
Of course. Was a movie that didn't need to be remade, too, by the way.
No.
I agree. No. Completely agree.
The second one, they went overseas. There was a second one. Was there a third? Was there a fourth?
I don't even know if we needed the sequels to.
I agree.
The original Karate Kid. Like, forget about the remake. Like, we didn't need Karate Kid Part 2 or 3.
I could not agree more.
Like, let's just leave the Karate Kid alone.
The first one was so good.
It was good. Yeah. Daniel's son and Mr. Miyagi.
Yep.
Classic.
Yep.
There's no stories that you want to. Did you, like, someone's leg that you swept because if he could do it, you could do it?
No. No. You know what? I'm trying to bring levity and humor to the show, and this is what it's met with. You know what?
If John McEnroe can do it, young Dave Rothenberg could do it.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. And of course, you got a poo poo on that.
Tell that Dr. whiny Fauci. Kid to shut up.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.